In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant it by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. O Lady of Fatima, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius of Loyola, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good afternoon. So this is our second lecture, the fifth week in which we're dealing with the call of the temporal king, so that we can listen attentively to the call of the eternal king, as well as the second part of this week will be to contemplate the joyful mysteries in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I said in the first lecture, I invite all of you to try to be faithful to your meditations, always asking the Blessed Virgin Mary to pray with you and to pray for you. Please do that. Today's Pentecost. The coming of the Holy Spirit was precipitated by the presence and the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, obviously. She was there for 9 days and nine nights with the apostles praying. The apostles saw Mary praying. They experienced the power of her prayers. Powerful wind, fire, and a transformation of the apostles into very ardent disciples of Christ. There's another model for the following of the call of the king. Is that these men, they were fearful, they had failed their Lord, they had run away from the cross. Peter denied him 3 times. Once they were imbued by the presence of the Holy Spirit through Mary's prayers, they became also our models for the following of the king. So much so that all of them except St. John the Evangelist shed their blood for Jesus Christ. James beheaded. Peter crucified upside down. St. Andrew crucified in the form of an X with ropes hanging on the cross for several days. St. Bartholomew flayed alive, skinned like a potato, and then they had to decapitate him. Where did they get this? From the Holy Spirit and their love for Christ, because they wanted to work with Christ, who sent his Spirit upon them to save souls. Okay, so how are we going to carry out this very noble enterprise in working with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to save souls? Venerable Archbishop Fulton James Sheen highlights the means by which this is going to become a reality. And it's this. First come, then go. First come, then go. We first have to come to Christ, then we can go out to the whole world. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all of you, and I will give you rest. Luke chapter 5, Jesus says, come to me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the point I'm trying to hammer away at is this. You can't give what you don't have. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine and you're the branches. My Father will cut away, prune away the branches that are dead. I have come that you have my have life and life in abundance. John chapter 15. The general confession was the cutting away of the debris, cutting away of the dead branches so that we can produce fruit and fruit in abundance. So inasmuch as we are deeply united with Christ, will we be able to produce fruit and fruit in abundance? Now this means two things. First is that you have to strive to be faithful to your daily holy hour. Fulton Sheen calls it the hour of power. Your holy hour. I didn't say your happy hour. Your holy hour. You have to be faithful to your holy hour. And it doesn't matter how you feel. You got to be there. You got to be faithful. St. Teresa of Avila says, debemos tener una determinada determinación para nunca dejar la oración. Very poetic if you know Spanish. You have to have a determined determination. A determined determination never to give up prayer. Faithfulness. Perseverance. Now I would also venture to say that above and beyond your holy hour, you're growing in magnanimity and generosity. You want to also start to add other spiritual practices depending on your daily schedule and your other obligations. If you can go to daily Mass, go to daily Mass. Your daily rosary is a must. Never allow a day to go by in which you're not praying your rosary. Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. It only takes five minutes. Make sure that you do your daily examine. Are you going to do it right before you go to bed? You can, but you might fall asleep. You can do it at any time during the day. This week, if you're making the 30-day retreat, is the week in which Ignatius introduces his retreatants to the saints and reading the lives of the saints. Not to supplant your holy hour, but to supplement it, okay? Not to supplant, but to supplement. Supplant means to replace. No, to supplement, to add to it. Your daily spiritual supplement. And I'd have to say this. try to live in the presence of God. In Him, we live and move and have our being. As the Greek poets put it, in Him we live and move and have our being. God is always present, but we become absent to Him. So this is the call of the King. You have to be faithful to your spiritual life. Here, one other element in the ingredient has to be added. By way of a little anecdote in the life of St. John Bosco. Now, St. John Bosco was a dynamic priest, founder, visionary. Many talents. St. John Bosco had a photographic memory, which means once he read it or heard it, it was there. We probably don't have that. His spiritual director was St. Joseph Cafasso, another canonized saint. After he was ordained, he was just filled with energy to convert souls. His spiritual director said, spend another year studying. Why? You have one of the most brilliant men in the history of the church. Why should he study another year? There's all these souls to be saved. Because his spiritual director recognized that this was a man who had so many gifts and talents, but he still had a lot to learn. What about us? What about us? Do you think we have to study and learn a little bit more? So we are in what is called a process of permanent formation. We have to constantly, as followers of Christ, study. We should have not only our contemplative hour, but some time to study our faith. I studied until I was 30. I got 3 to 4 degrees. I've got 4 degrees. I mean, I've got a lot of studies. No. Over the past 4 months, I did a course on the 2,000 years of Catholic Church history. A course on Saint Augustine. Yesterday I did a course on Saint Francis of Assisi. I probably have more theological studies than you people, I think. But I just recognize that I still have a lot more to learn. Professionals in this country, constantly courses of formation. Example I give from my own family life is, I have a brother who is an orthopedic surgeon. For many years. I went to visit him a few years ago and he had to pass another test. He's a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude, Columbia Medical School. You can't go beyond that, huh? Can't go beyond that, can you, no? Why does a poor guy have to study? He makes a mistake. As a surgeon, you've heard of lawsuits? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Or do we want to be called rinky-dink Catholics? Rinky-dink Catholics, huh? Mediocre, superficial, half-baked, lukewarm Catholics. Just join the lot, huh? Of course, you people are called to become great saints. Never forget it. Remember the call of the King, eh? Hey, boot, you're in spiritual boot camp. Spiritual boot camp. We got to be disciplined. Physical discipline. Mental discipline. Spiritual discipline. Once we're well disciplined, we walk with the King, we talk with the King, we struggle with the King, we suffer with the King, but we harvest with the King. Listen to this. I hope and pray that this is going to be the reality. When you die, Jesus is going to meet you at heaven with a big smile, with Mama Mary next to him. He's going to say, thank you, because you heard my call as King through the exercises that changed your life. And you worked hard after the spiritual exercise until you died to save souls for me. Then Jesus opens up his hands and his cloak, and there you see hundreds and hundreds of souls that were saved because you heard the call of the King and you said yes. I pray that that's going to be a reality for all of you. I pray. I pray. That's the desire of the heart of Christ right now. It's his desire right now. Don't underestimate yourself united with the King. Left to ourselves, we can't do anything. Except commit a lot of sins, left to ourselves. One of my favorite biblical verses is what you're going to meditate in 3 days. It's what the Archangel Gabriel said. Because nothing is impossible with God. Maybe I'm too extravagant in saying this, but I don't think so. When I'm celebrating my Mass, often I'll say, Lord, I'll pray that through this Mass, 1 million souls will be saved. But hear a voice saying, ask for more. Ask for more. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Whoever asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. Whoever knocks, the door is open. Matthew 7:7, right? We receive little because we ask for little. We receive little because our trust is limited. We are finite. He's infinite. We are temporal. He's the eternal King. We are sinners. He's the essence of holiness. We live in shadows. He is pure light. So talking about how you can save souls. Now in your prayer life, united to your sacramental life, you have to learn how to live the Mass. Parish Masses, the priest will say, this Mass is offered for an individual intention. But that does not mean that you cannot offer your own intention. Many of my Masses, when I offer them, I'll offer the Mass that was asked for by one of the parishioners. Then what I'll do is I will place on the altar my own intentions. And sometimes I think that I have so many intentions that the altar is going to collapse. It's going to cave in. I think the Lord is pleased with that. I think He's pleased with that. Why don't you do that? See, these exercises are also going to be changing your whole life, but even your sacramental life. You made your general confession. Probably by now you feel this hunger and thirst to go to the Mass and receive the Lord in the Eucharist more abundantly. A hunger for the bread of life. So in the Call of the King, the Salvation of Souls, I spend a lot of time just on your praying for the salvation of souls and studying to get to know your faith better. You can't give what you don't have. Now, all of us, following the call of the King, we're all called to be missionaries. Now more than ever. And we should have this zeal, this fire that's burning within us. To tell you an interesting story, which is funny and sad at the same time. Part of my living out the call of the King is that I walk the streets and I knock on doors and I invite people to come to church. I go with a missionary team. There's so many souls out there, my friends, that are waiting for someone to come and knock on the door and invite them. So many souls that have a hunger and thirst for God, but nobody is feeding them that delicious platter that we call Catholicism. But this happened. I was walking the streets in a very dense Hispanic population. And I met, in the middle of the city, these two men, 6 feet maybe 6 feet tall, maybe 6 foot two, dressed in white shirts, black tie, blonde hair, blue eyes, and they're riding bikes. These were Mormons. And I stopped to talk to them for a couple of minutes. And after talking with them a couple of minutes, they started to speak with a Hispanic person, and their Spanish was perfect, better than the Mexicans. It's a perfect Spanish. They're probably brought up and raised in Salt Lake City. Not in Mexico City, but Salt Lake City. No? Spoke a perfect Spanish. And they said, "Where did you learn that Spanish?" "Oh, we went to South America to learn Spanish to convert the Mexicans to Mormonism." What zeal? What apostolic zeal? What are we willing to do to get out of the boat and to walk on the water? I think a lot of us are filled with fears, with phobias, with complexes. Do we trust God or not? They've got the fullness of error, but they got fire. We've got the fullness of the truth, but we are asleep. Catholic Church is a sleeping giant. Catholic Church is a sleeping giant. That's the purpose of these exercises, to wake up. Wake up. The clock is ticking. None of us are getting any younger. Look in the mirror. Huh? The clock is ticking, my friends. Life is short. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. And as St. Augustine says, talking about eternity, our life on earth, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. A mere blink of the eye. That's our life in comparison with eternity. A mere blink of the eye. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. It's your call to be missionaries. It's another interpretation of the call of the King. Catholic Christian Church is called to be on mission. You baptized?
Yes.
After you're baptized, you're anointed as priest, prophet, and king. Prophet means he who announces the good news. Are you confirmed? When the bishop confirmed you, he said, "Now you are called to defend the faith and spread the faith." To defend the faith and spread the faith. What were the last words of Jesus Christ before he ascended into heaven? Matthew chapter 28. Last words. Go out to all nations. Teach them what I taught you. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Those were the last words of Jesus Christ, then he ascended into heaven. But see the dynamic of first come, then go? He told the apostles, don't go yet. You're not ready. Don't go yet. First, make sure that you do the Ignatian exercises. Mm-hmm. 15 centuries later, right? Don't go yet. From the movie of Father Patrick Peyton, family that prays together, stays together. Father Patrick Peyton presents the ascension of our Lord in this way. Our Lord says, go out to all the world and convert the whole world to me. One of the apostles looks at the Lord and says this, Lord, how are we going to convert the whole world? We don't know anything. He says, hey, don't go yet. Go to the upper room. Make the first novena. Pray 9 days, 9 nights. Fast. Go with my mother Mary. Then you'll be ready. And they did it. And they're transformed. Look at this contrast. Simon Peter, they're sitting at the Last Supper. Jesus says that the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered. And you'll all leave me alone. And Peter says, Lord, I will not. Jesus says, before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. And it happened. Before the cock crowed, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Peter, who saw Jesus walk in the water. Jesus, who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. What more do you want? So the Holy Spirit descends upon Peter and the apostles. That day, this day, which we celebrate 2017 years later, Peter got up and he gave his Pentecost homily. One homily, 3,000 souls were converted in one homily. It's the same Peter. But he did his spiritual exercises. He did his spiritual exercises with Mama Mary. Huh? Radically transformed. This is what happens when we pray. This is what happens when we hear the call of the King. This is what happens when there's apostolic zeal. This is what happens when we get fire within us. He's a very blunt, coarse, uneducated fisherman. You ever read his letters? Sounds like a graduate from Princeton. He says, as the morning star rises in our hearts. That's beautiful English. Cleverly concocted truths. That doesn't like a kind of coarse, blunt fisherman, does it? Where did that come from? He had done his spiritual exercises with Mama Mary, right? In the upper room. Transformation. So even though we're weak, God is very strong. God can take the weak and the humble of heart that are well disposed, well prepared, and He can work miracles in that person. That person is you. If you trust. You're called to be missionaries. You're called to be missionaries. That's the call of the King. Having said this, Pope John Paul II, in the most important recent document on the missions, Missio Redentoris, which is Latin, the mission of the Redeemer, says this, that the first and most abundant harvest today in the mission field are the big cities. Manila, New York, Buenos Aires, Tokyo, the city of Mexico, Cebu. These are the most important mission territories today. The biggest diocese in the United States is Los Angeles. The harvest is rich. The laborers are few. Harvest is rich. What an abundant harvest. The laborers are few. You are called to be laborers. You're called to work in the harvest. You're called to be fishermen. Now look at the vast confine of these big cities. Many, many souls to be saved. I believe many will be saved if you listen to the call of the King. Now John Paul II, in his document, The Mission of the Redeemer, divides this abundant harvest into three categories. First group, the biggest religious group in the United States, as well as in Manila, as well as in Buenos Aires, as well as in Rome, as well as in Paris, as well as in Rio de Janeiro. The biggest group, are you listening? Are non-practicing Catholics. That's the biggest group, my friends. So how can you, all of you have family members that fall under that category. How can you For hear the call of the king. Bring these people back. How can you do it? One means by which I'm trying to do it over the past 3 years. It's part of my charism as an oblate of the Virgin Mary. And this week is the Marian week in which you're going to be contemplating the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. It's a wonderful week. It's the call of the King, then the call of Mary, who said, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to their word. See, Mary is your model. What I believe, one of the most efficacious tools to bring people to the heart of Jesus Christ is to bring them to the heart of Mary. Last Thursday, I was downtown L.A. I was invited to give a Marian mission. And a lady in the office made 500 copies. We didn't have enough. 500 souls to be saved. 500 plus. So myself as a priest, if I can bring these 500 plus souls to the heart of Mary, she's going to bring them to the heart of Christ. You're not a priest, you don't have the same sacrament grace that I have, but you have to be open to the call of the King. As a priest, I set up a catechetical program for the parents of the children. They got to come to the classes. They resist at first, but after a year, oh, Father, thank you. I finally know my faith a little bit better. Then they come a second year. And then they get married in the church. Then they baptize their children, who's 2, 4, and 5. See the domino effect? I'm constantly trying to listen to the call of the King. What are ways that I can save souls? I go on the radio. In Spanish, thousands of people hearing Padre Escobita. Thousands of people listening to me in Spanish. It's the call of the King. Just finished publishing my second book. Hey, once it's out there, my friends. Sophia Press, Consecration of Jesus to Mary in the Mystery of the Rosary. Sophia Press, buy it. Write articles, blog articles, you know, publish Catholic Exchange, Spirit Daily. Hey, articles, 1,500 words. I got my degree in English literature, so I'm a pretty good writer. That's a talent God has given me. So I will write. I'll preach. I'll teach. I'll go on radio. I've been on TV. Any way possible. When I was a kid in 7th grade, I was taking French, and I flunked it. And the teacher brought my mother, and she said, to my mother, your son is the hardest worker I've ever had in my class. He's never going to learn a language. Proficient in Italian, Spanish. Why? If I got to save a lot of the Mexicans, I'm going to try to speak a better Spanish than them. To save souls. I'll put myself in my head and I'll spit out wooden nickels to save souls, as we say in New York, no? What are you willing to do to save souls? Our problem is materialism. We're too comfortable here. I think we belong to the 3C club, the comfortable Catholic club. We belong to the comfortable Catholic cozy club, the 4Cs, huh? It's comfortable and cozy, huh? My friends, the clock is ticking. And as Ernest Hemingway said, do not ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for you. That's the first class. How many Catholics, they've walked away from the church? Bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back. Second group that John Paul II speaks about, the document, the mission of the Redeemer, are those who have they've never heard the good news preached. Did you know that one of the fasting growing religions in the United States is atheism? It's actually not a religion, because atheism means the negation of theism. Thea means God, so you're denying God's existence. Remember the story of an atheist? He said, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. What are we going to do to hold back this avalanche of atheism that's descending upon our country? That's why we got the spiritual exercises program, my friends. We have to plant the seeds of Christianity, Catholicism in the hearts of others through our prayers and through our good example and through our words. You're called to be missionaries. And what is the third group of individuals? John Paul II highlights in the mission of the Redeemer. It's you people. It's Catholic Christians that have their faith, and they hunger for God. That's you. But it's up to those who have a hunger and thirst for God to hear the call of the King and bring Christ to the other two groups. You're here not by chance. You know, you want to make me angry inside? Say, good luck, Father. I hate that. I don't believe in luck. Nothing happens by chance. It's called divine providence. You're not here fortuitously. You're not here by chance. You're here because God sent you. You're here because God sent you. But you're called to give. You're called to be a missionary. You're called to listen to the call of the King. That's why after you finish the call of the King, the other 5 days in this week, you're going to be meditating upon the five joyful mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. And I'd like to present, in conclusion, the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom Mother Teresa called the first missionary of charity, was the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was the first missionary of charity. First come, then go. First come is the Annunciation, then go is the Visitation. Mary, first come. She was in union with the Blessed Trinity. She said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Mary first filled herself with God. Then she went in haste to bring God to others. Mary is your model. Walk with Mary. Talk with Mary. Love Mary. Imitate Mary. Pray that like Mary, you also will love what God loves. What does God love? He loves the salvation of souls. Last words of Ignatius to Francis Xavier, I address to you people. After you have received God within your hearts, go set all on fire. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.